Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. We're looking at Proverbs by subject. And the ones that we will look at tonight put the righteous and the unrighteous side by side, draw a contrast between them. And when we see the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, that is a subject that ought to certainly cause people to contemplate their own lives and their own manner of living. The reason that a lot of people have the problems that they have is because of the lives that they live. And these proverbs that we'll look at tonight make this very, very clear. The righteous, of course, refer to the saved. It's more than that. It's those who are saved and who live virtuously, those who live uprightly, those who live in an orderly and decent manner, those who live lawfully. And the wicked or the unrighteous, of course, are those who live sinfully, those who live immorally, corruptly, and unlawfully. And these proverbs plainly teach that there are consequences to the way that one chooses to live their lives. And the teaching of these proverbs, notice, is really the summary of it, is stated in Galatians chapter 6. We'll go there and then we'll go back to Proverbs 10. But in Galatians 6, verse 7 and verse 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And that is the truth that is taught in the Proverbs we'll look at this evening. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So if we go back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6 says, "Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The blessings here has reference to temporal blessings, has reference certainly to spiritual blessings, and it speaks of the fact that God's judgment will fall upon the wicked. And then if we go down to Proverbs 10 and verse 9, it says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." So here the contrast is between the individual who walks uprightly and the individual who perverts his ways. The one who walks uprightly has reference to the just and the faithful, both toward man and toward God. And we see the result of this is that he walketh surely. That means he has security in his life. It means he has confidence. He has assurance in his life. It has reference to a consistent walk of faithfulness. And this individual is blessed. This individual can rest upon the favor of God. This individual can rest upon God's favorable providence for his protection. But the individual who walks perversely, or walks in a crooked manner, or sinful path, or deals hypocritically or deceitfully with God, with man, it says he shall be known. That is, he shall be publicly discovered. He shall be exposed to shame and punishment. And the teaching of that, notice, keep a mark there and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 23. very latter part of the verse, be sure, that is, be certain of this, your sin will find you out. And that's what Proverbs 10, verse 9 is talking about. Be sure, your sin will find you out. That's what Galatians 6, verse 7 is talking about also. That a man reaps as he sows. You sow to the flesh, you are going to reap of the flesh. You may not reap today, you may not reap tomorrow, but you sow to the flesh, you will reap the fruit of the flesh. Vice versa, you sow to the Spirit, you will reap the fruit of the Spirit. So this individual who walks perversely, in time, will be exposed. Be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs 10, verse 16 says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. The labor of the righteous, that is the industry and the effort of the righteous, which is for God's honor and for God's glory. This individual does not covet to be great. This individual does not covet to be rich. He simply desires to please God, to honor God. And the individual who lives his life that way, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life. That is, that individual will enjoy life. That individual will live life abundantly, as Jesus talked about in John chapter 10. With the wicked, self and not God is both the object of their life and the end of their life, and the fruit of that is more sin. They just bring more and more sin into their lives. And again, it goes back to Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. And then notice in verse 27 through verse 30, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. Now there are four contrasts here between the righteous and the wicked. First of all, there is a contrast in their very lives, in the very way that they live their lives. We see that the life of the righteous is characterized by fear of the Lord. They have a reverence. They have a respect. They have an honor for God. And this, of course, includes godly principles. This fear of the Lord results in a fullness of life or an abundant life, an enjoyment of life. On the other hand, the life of the wicked is one of irreverence. And a life of irreverence wears away the very spring of life. And that's what it means when it says the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And secondly, there is a contrast in their hope. We see the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. In other words, their hope, that which they place their hope in, that which they place their expectation in, will one day be realized. On the other side, the expectation, the hope of the wicked shall perish or end in disappointment. The individual who lives their life in wickedness, the individual who follows the path of sin, is going to have a life of disappointment. They have their hopes. They have their expectations. Everybody does. Everybody has hopes. Everybody has expectations. But we see the hopes of the wicked are going to perish. Now, if you keep a mark there and turn to the book of Job, chapter 8, Job chapter 8, verse 13. We read, so are the paths of all that forget God, which goes back to, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God. and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Job chapter 11, verse 20. The eyes of the wicked shall fail, but they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Again, their life ends in disappointment. Job 27, and verse 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? When God takes away his soul, all the hope that individual has is forever gone. And that individual will have an eternity of disappointment, but their hope will not be realized. So there's a contrast in hope of the righteous and the unrighteous. There's a contrast in their ways. We read that the way of the upright, the way of the Lord, has reference to the precepts of God is strength. The way of the Lord is strength. The individual who follows the precepts of the Lord, they have courage. They have strength because they do what's right. The way to get courage is to do what's right. The way to have confidence, the way to have assurance is just do what's right. And the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. On the other hand, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. And then fourthly, there's a contrast in their stability. The righteous shall never be removed. Those who live virtuously, those who live decently and lawfully are well established. But not so. Not so with the wicked. Then notice in Proverbs 11 and verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but in contrast, the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Now that word integrity means an adherence to a moral code. Here, of course, it would refer to a firm adherence in God's precepts. And the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The individual who lives their life with a firm adherence to the precepts of God, those precepts serve as a guide to that individual's life. Those precepts serve as an attendant and a counselor in that individual's life. But on the other hand, we have perverseness. And perverseness means that which is turned away from God, that which is turned away from the paths of righteousness, which is turned away from the code of righteousness, that which is improper, that which is incorrect. The perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And this is taught all through the Word of God. The wicked will be destroyed. And then in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 5 through verse 8, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Once again, a contrast is drawn between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous here are referred to as perfect. They are referred to as upright. Perfect has reference to spiritual maturity. So we're talking about an individual who has some spiritual maturity. The upright has reference to the one who is marked by strong moral principles based upon the Word of God. The blessing of such a life is guidance and deliverance. That individual has the guidance of God. That individual has the deliverance of God. The unrighteous, on the other hand, are described by the word wicked, that which is evil, that which is vile. They are described by the word transgressor, that which goes beyond, that which passes over the laws of God. And such are on a road to destruction. Such are on a road to disappointment. Such are on a road to trouble. If you're always looking at ruin, if you're always looking at disappointment, if you're always looking at trouble, I would suggest to you to take a good, hard look at your life. Because you're probably living a life that leads to ruin. You're leading a life that leads to disappointment and that leads to trouble. And as long as you're caught in that rut, you're going to have disappointment. You're going to have a life of trouble. And then notice in verses 18 through 21, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, or abundance of life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. He that pursueth evil does so to his own destruction. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, these verses speak of how wicked men live their life to their own destruction, and how that the righteous live in such a way as to receive the blessings of God. And again, these verses teach us four things about the wicked. First of all, they are deceived. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. They are deceived. Anyone who lives their life in the path of sin, anyone who lives their life in a path of wickedness, anyone who pursues that which is contrary to God is a deceived individual. That's first of all, they're deceived. Secondly, they pursue that which results in death. So he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. That is, he plans and acts against his own self-interest. Their whole purpose of living is to have a good time. And everything they do works against that. Everything they do works against their own self-interest. Their whole world is self. Yet everything they do is opposed to their own good. They are an abomination to the Lord. They that are of a froward, habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition, these individuals are abomination or a disgust to the Lord. They are an abomination to the Lord. And then we read, they shall not escape punishment. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Confederacies in sin shall be broken. Confederacies in sin provide no protection. Though hand join in hand, they shall not be unpunished. Everybody's doing it. Though hand join in hand, they shall not be unpunished. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people are doing it. It doesn't matter how many people you can find to agree with you. None of that matters. Because confederacies in sin will be broken. They provide no protection. And yet today, people in their own minds find some degree of solace. They find some degree of protection in thinking that others are doing this as well, and as if that provides them some protection. But they shall not go unpunished. So the wicked will not escape punishment. The verse also teaches us four things about the righteous. They have a sure reward. To him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. They have reward. They have reward of God. They have, secondly, they have enjoyment of life. As righteousness tendeth to life. Thirdly, they are pleasing to the Lord. But as such as are upright in their ways are his delight. And fourthly, they and their seed. They and their seed have deliverance. It says, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The best thing that you can do for your children, the best thing that you can do for your grandchildren is to live right. That's the best thing that you can do. You bring God's blessings when you live right. Even our families are blessed by you and I living right. If you and I would live right, those who may not even be born yet may be blessed by that. So the best thing that you can leave your child is not monetary. The best thing that you can leave your child is a godly example. And that will prove to be a blessing. And then in Proverbs chapter 12, verses 2 and verse 3. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. But a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A good man. What is a good man? Well, goodness is the fruit of the Spirit. A good man is someone who is filled with the Spirit of God. A good man is someone who reflects the character of God. It's someone who reflects the goodness of God. And this individual, no matter what happens in his life, no matter what difficulties come his way, this individual enjoys the favor of God. What a blessing to know God is pleased. What a blessing. What a way to live life, to know that what I am doing pleases God. And if it pleases God, it doesn't matter. It should not matter to us one iota who else it pleases or displeases. The whole thing is, does it please God? Now, in contrast to a good man is a man of wicked devices. This individual follows wickedness. He follows wickedness as his course in life. And it says he shall not be established by wickedness. His wickedness may set him in high places. But notice Psalm 73. Remember, the psalmist had a struggle that we've all had from time to time. He was looking at the ungodly. He was looking at the wicked, and he was coming to the conclusion that living a life of righteousness is in vain, because here I suffer trouble and the wicked do not have the trouble I have, and so on. But then he went into the house of God and he began to understand. And again, may I say, anytime you look at the wicked and you begin to envy their life, you don't understand. Your understanding is clouded. And any time it leads you to say, well, what's the use of living righteously? Your understanding is very skewed. In Psalm 73 and verse 18, notice what he understood. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. And that is so of every wicked person alive today. They may be presidents of companies, they may be multimillionaires, they may be billionaires, but every single one of them is set in a slippery place. And at any time, at any moment, they can go down to destruction. Do not ever envy a lost sinner. Do not ever envy what the wicked have. They're all set in slippery places. Proverbs 12, verse 7 says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." What that teaches is that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and that's what we read in Job chapter 20 and verse 5. On the other hand, the foundation of the righteous is firm. It's an enduring foundation. Proverbs 12, verse 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgressions of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." The wicked entangles themselves, ensnares themselves in their own sin. They are ensnared by trouble. They are ensnared in trouble brought on by their own foolishness. But notice what it says, "But the just shall come out of trouble." Though the just may have trouble, they may have plenty of trouble in their lives, they will not be entangled in it. You live right, and you may have trouble in your life. You'll have some difficulties. You'll have some problems. Everybody does. But you will not. You just do what's right in the midst of trouble. You do what's right in the midst of difficulty, and you will never be ensnared in trouble. Now, there's a big difference between having troubles in your life and being ensnared by the troubles in your life. And the way to ensnare yourself in your troubles is to do what's wrong. As soon as trouble comes in your life, and you, in order to get out of the trouble, or you think you're going to get out of the trouble, you tell a lie, or you do that which you know is wrong, you're ensnaring yourself. You're ensnaring yourself in trouble. Do what's right. Always do what's right. Always do what God says. It may not make 1 ounce of sense to you. Do it anyway. Just do what's right. And it'll keep you, it may not keep you out of trouble, but it will keep you from being ensnared, entrapped in your trouble. We read in Proverbs 12, verse 26, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth him." You know, people have convinced themselves today that one person is no better than another. That's not what this verse says. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. He's more excellent. Now, he's more excellent by the grace of God. He hasn't made himself more excellent. But a law-abiding citizen is better than a lawbreaker. Don't ever say, "Well, they're the same." No, they're not. And here we see the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth him. The very ways of the wicked take advantage of the individual, causing him to err, causing him to wander to his own destruction, causing him to wander to his own ruin. And we all know people like that. They live a wicked life. They live contrary to God, and they do so to their own ruin all the time. But the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. Proverbs 12, verse 28, "The way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof is no death or destruction." You will not ruin your life by doing what's right. You will not ruin your life by obeying God. You can ruin your life by disobeying, but you will not ruin your life. You may lose your job, you may lose a lot of things, but I promise you, you will not ruin your life by doing what's right. But you very well could by doing that which is not right. Then we see in Proverbs 13 and verse 9, "The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Now the light of the righteous, the lamp of the wicked, has reference to joy, has reference to gladness. And what this is saying is the joy and gladness of the righteous shall continue. But for the wicked, it's coming to an end. It's going to end. For the wicked, this is as good as it gets. This life is as good as it gets. It's never going to be better than right now for the wicked. But for the righteous, that, of course, is not so. But notice there's also a difference in the degree of the joy and gladness of the righteous and the joy and the gladness of the wicked. The light of the righteous. And then we read the lamp of the wicked. Now there's a difference between light and a lamp. And the light is far, far greater than the lamp. And then we read in Proverbs 13, verse 14 and 15, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. To depart from the snares, the entanglements of death or destruction. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors, the way of transgressors is hard. It's very strenuous. The way of transgressors is strenuous. It's exhausting. It is very, very difficult. It's demanding. And it's punishing. It is far, you'll have a far easier life doing what's right than you do by doing what's wrong. The way of transgressors is hard. And so many times people will complain, oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to live right in today's world. I'm telling you, you want difficulty in your life, the way of transgressors is hard. You want trouble? The way of transgressors is hard. There is more joy, there is more gladness in the individual that does what's right. That's where we find joy and gladness. Again, it's as we've preached before, it's not someone's right to be happy. That's what we've been sold today. It's everybody's right to be happy. Everybody has the right to be happy. No, they don't. You do what's wrong, you don't have the right to be happy. You're going to be miserable. Happiness, all through the Scriptures, is a result of doing what's right. And may I say, misery is a result of doing what's wrong. We read in Proverbs 13, verse 21 and 22, evil pursueth sinners. That's quite a statement. That's very, very true. Not only do evil men pursue that which is evil, but this verse says, evil pursueth sinners. You've known of people and it seems like trouble just finds them. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And the reason is because of the life that they live. You go to certain places, you're going to find trouble. You go to certain places at certain times of the day, you're going to find trouble. And it just, evil pursueth sinners. That which is destructive pursues the individual who transgresses the law of God. But the contrast, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, to his grandchildren. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Again, there is an inheritance that is far, far greater There is an inheritance that is far more lasting than a material inheritance, and that is to have a good testimony before your family. And even if God gives the wicked wealth, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, he does so for the benefit of his people. He does so for the benefit of the righteous. Think about that. God blesses the wicked, but he does so for your benefit. He does so for your benefit. He uses them to provide your needs. I mean, most people work for what the Bible would consider wicked men. God's blessed them. God's blessed their businesses. God's allowed them to obtain for the sake and for the benefit of his people. The righteous in Proverbs 13:25 eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want or shall lack. Notice Proverbs 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. A tabernacle compared to a house. The wicked have a house. The righteous have a tabernacle. And a tabernacle compared to a house appears to be very weak, very poor, very unstable. But it's the tabernacle that shall stand, and the house that shall fall. The house of the wicked shall fall. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The contrast here is between a backslider and a good man. Here it's the backslider in heart. This is an individual who departs from God. He may not have yet departed outwardly. He will. But perhaps he has not yet departed outwardly, but he's departed inwardly. That's a backslider in heart. He has departed from the precepts of God, and such an individual will be filled with the fruit of his own ways and his own doings. And that is a recipe for disaster. That is a recipe for misery, to be filled with your own ways. One of the worst judgments that can fall upon a society, that can fall upon an individual, is for God to just leave you alone. For God to just let you go. And there's a lot to be said about that in Romans chapter 1. But in contrast, the good man, he's the individual who cleaves to the Lord, cleaves to God's ways with all his heart. This individual shall find comfort. This individual shall find satisfaction. And he finds his comfort and he finds his satisfaction in the ways of the Lord. So again, when things are not going like you have planned, the best thing to do is to do what's right. Because you'll find comfort in that. You'll find guidance in that. You'll find satisfaction in that. Perhaps you will never find satisfaction in your circumstance, but you do what's right and you can find satisfaction. You can find pleasure. You can find joy in the ways of God. But you do what's wrong. You sin against God. You disobey what God says in order to avoid trouble, or in order to get out of trouble. You will not avoid trouble, and you will not get out of it. You will go deeper into it. So we see the lives that we live determines a great deal whether we're happy, whether we're miserable. Most people that are miserable blame their misery on everybody else. But it's not everybody else that makes you miserable. It's your own lifestyle. It's the breaking of God's law that will bring misery into your life. Just do what's right. And this is what we need to teach everyone, whether it be young people, middle-aged people, old people, doesn't matter. Just do what's right. Just do what God would have you to do, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what you think the outcome is going to be. You just do what's right. And I promise you, if you do what's right, I'm not promising you that your troubles will go away, but I promise you, you'll find comfort, you'll find joy, you'll find the favor of God. Just do what's right. And there are many other proverbs here that draw this contrast between the righteous and the wicked. But it should cause us to look at the way we live our lives. And again, as we've said many times before, the reason so many times people are miserable is because they just don't live right. They don't live life right. And we have an instruction book on how to live. And it's right here. You can listen to your professors. You can listen to whoever you want to listen to. But it comes down to, this is our standard. And this is what we have to abide by. You just go by the book, and God will bless. God will bless. This is why so many homes are a mess. This is why so many lives are a mess. Because people want to do it their own way. And somewhere along the line, you would think that common sense would kick in and a person would say, you know what? I must be doing something wrong. But it never seems to cross their mind. It's everybody else's fault. But just stop and think. Perhaps I'm doing something wrong. And if you're not obeying God, you are doing that which is wrong. Brother Tim, you come.